Online Trading Academy's core strategy is patented and is built on a timeless principle of supply and demand. Text Curly, C-U-R-L-E-Y, to 57682 and learn how you can trade stocks using this patented core strategy. Text Curly, C-U-R-L-E-Y, to 57682.
Got it. Here we go. 10:06. Bucky's Auto Service Center. Take your car there. Anything wrong with a car, especially around summertime, going to be doing a lot of driving. Make sure that it is running right. Take it to Bucky's Auto Service Center. Refreshing. Tom, I must say that I got an email last night from Patrick, and it says, last one, fellas.
Yeah, yep.
It was interesting.
At the same one, yes.
Because at one point, I felt sort of sorry for the show, because Patrick has done much for the show.
Yes,
just
he
tuning
has.
Us. Patrick has left us, everybody.
The longest serving producer we've ever had.
It's true.
And then I thought, but good for him. Guy his age, being able to move on to something else and then become a police officer, good for him.
Yeah, I just think that management failed our show.
How's that?
We should have offered him so much that he couldn't leave.
That's true. How many times?
What happened to those golden handcuffs I always hear about?
Andrew, how many times did I say, Patrick, who will always be here?
Something like 20 times, maybe more.
Oh, maybe more? Maybe more?
Toodles, who listens to the show, said to me, I hope that guy doesn't leave because you keep saying he's never going to leave. That's what she said to me last Thursday. All right, if that isn't, that's one of our big stories, is the fact that Patrick, our producer, is leaving to go do something else.
It is
that's
the biggest
right.
part of the show. Yeah. And it's great news. That's why we can't be sad.
No, I'm not sad. I mean, if he sucked, I'd be happy he's leaving. All right, here we go, Seattle.
So it's win-win all the way around.
All the way. They thought they would make, I think, what'd they say, 14, 15 million bucks, they thought, on selling sugary drinks. They put this thing in place, and they, in the first quarter, they've taken in $4 million. Story from the Seattle Times also tells us that they've asked the University of Washington to study the sugary tax, and they want to see where the money's going, and are people going outside the area to pick up their sugary drinks? Who is it affecting? And they want to find out about consumption. So I think they've got 200 kids or something that they're going to be filing. How much are you drinking now and a year from now? Hopefully when this study, which I think they paid $500,000 for, that when they give them the results, the city doesn't have to race and find another opposing study to prove something different.
But see, what's great about this is that you always want these kind of social experiments, and it's going to be studied to death. But the other thing, I think we need to toot the city's horn for a change, because they predicted it was going to raise about $14 million, and in the first quarter, it's raised $4 million, so they actually were pretty close to right on in terms of their projections,
right,
which doesn't happen that often.
So then they take the that's true. Then they take the money and then they disperse it into programs for early childhood learning, healthy food programs, like $3 million goes to that, $1 million to administer the money they've taken. And then it says that some of the money, I guess it's like $5 million, is unaccounted for or unearmarked. I can't believe that's the case.
No. It's, well, I think you left out, so a little over $2.5 million on community college scholarships.
Okay. So what they've done is that's called a transfer. So you take it primarily from Hispanics and blacks and then give it to Hispanics and blacks. So before you take the dollar from them, you have it run through the bureaucracy.
First off, it might be a higher percentage of the community, African Americans and Hispanics. My guess is just because they're more whites, that it probably impacts more whites in terms of numbers. But if the idea is if there's higher obesity rates or diabetes rates in those communities and this has an effect on that, they will come out the winner if they don't drink as much.
Right. So the benefit for them is, so 59% of those that consume sugary drinks are Hispanic or black.
That's right.
And 24% will drink three a day. It's if you really, it's not about the color of the person's skin. It has to do with education. So if you only have a high school education, tend to drink one to two a day. So what they're doing is they're taking the money from you now, running it through the bureaucracy, and then spitting it back out through a couple of programs that may or may not benefit you.
Well, they're designed to benefit you on that healthy food programs idea. That's the idea, and early learning programs. I mean, the idea is if it impacts those particular communities, it may help those particular communities if they raise the money. The question is how much is this going to lower?
But you realize it's a tax on poor Hispanic and black people. You realize it's a tax on them, right?
It's also a tax on white people who also drink these health – I want to call them health dangerous drinks, but they're not
health threatening liquids.
Come on, right?
So. All right. Now, rich white people drink lattes, which are exempt. Yes. So we didn't tax the white rich people. We tax the poor black people because they drink more unhealthy drinks.
Yes.
Even though the latte has more sugar in it than some of those drinks.
Yeah, because it's milk-based. I don't understand. Is there a dairy lobby in this town? I don't understand that. And by the way, they tried to make it more... The social equity issue did come up, and they tried to address it by saying, we're going to tax diet soda as well.
Right.
And then the pushback was... Now, wait a minute. The whole point of why we're doing it is because there's no science behind it. So you can't just, you know, be socially equitable with bogus science. So they backed
And what stores are doing in the area is they've raised the tax on both the diet and the regular. So you really don't,
Where have you seen that? I haven't seen that because I think that's interesting. The one place that I notice it, because it's up to the distributors to decide if they want to tax the consumer or not.
Yeah.
So when I go into my Bartels in my neighborhood, they have these signs that say, hey, you know, it's more expensive. When I went to the UW campus, a little grocery store there, they have those signs. You know, the sugary tax beverage, you know, costs you more.
It shows you.
Yeah.
They did this in Berkeley a couple of years ago, and what they did was they did not pass it on to the consumer. They ate the additional tax.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't see as much money come through. It didn't affect. The thing with the University of Washington study that will be interesting is, does it reduce the obesity? Does it reduce the size of the child, right? Does the kid's weight go down because they're not drinking as much soda? Now, they're eating just as many fries and just as many potato chips, and they're having just as many burgers.
Yeah.
So maybe they've gone from a Coke to a Diet Coke, but they're still consuming most of their calorie intake is from fat.
See, but I don't think if you normally eat two hamburgers and have a Coke, if you're going to have a Diet Coke, I'm not sure you're going to eat three hamburgers, but... I mean, I suppose we can find out.
Yeah. Well, it would be interesting to see. And again, let's hope that the city, when they hire the University of Washington, they say, okay, we like your numbers. We're not going to go down to Berkeley and get an opposing point of view in order to be able to show that our politics
I think it was written into the legislation.
Oh, good. All right. How about this, Tom? So this kid, he's 17 years old. He's leaning over his desk, and he's leaning over and talking to another kid at their desk. The teacher, a beloved teacher by many at the school, comes up and pinches the kid's rear end. I guess as a way of saying, you know, hey, Tommy, or whatever the kid's name is, sit down, turn around, sit in your seat, right?
Yeah.
Some kids in the classroom apparently were very upset by this quote-unquote sexual harassment, and then they went ahead and reported the supposed crime to administrators.
I thought it was the mother. I didn't think it was the students that reported, but the mother's the one who's really upset.
There were other kids in the classroom who saw it, and it bothered them, and they went and told.
Okay.
Yeah.
The mother's the one that's making a federal case out of this, so to speak, metaphorically speaking. The teacher has been reprimanded and is been taken out of the classroom temporarily as they kind of try to adjudicate this. But the mother doesn't want that teacher to ever be allowed back in the classroom. Because of that, this is in Napavine, Lewis County high school teacher. Because of that, the school's reaction, there's been a Facebook page with like 250 parents. I don't know if there are other faculty members as well, singing this teacher's praises, that she's a great, you know, the spirit of the school kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the question is, how seriously do we take that? I think they just teach these days, don't physically touch the students.
Right.
Now, it does feel like he's a high school senior, he's a teenage boy, he's not paying attention or he's leaning over. It is a way to get his attention. But I think, in retrospect, even the teacher probably say, yeah, that probably wasn't the best. You know, maybe if you had to touch him at all, maybe tap him on the shoulder or something.
I wouldn't even do that, though.
You wouldn't even? Yeah, you would.
That's why zero tolerance is great. Zero tolerance when it comes to guns. Zero tolerance when it comes to touching children. It allows the bureaucracy, the bureaucrats that are in position, to not have to make any sort of discerning decision. Just across the board, flat across the board. If you touch the kid, or if some kid uses his finger and points it, makes it look like a gun, or they eat a piece of cheese into the shape of a gun, zero tolerance across the board. That allows you to not really have to think as a human being as to whether or not this teacher should be thrown out or not. Just zero tolerance. She should be tossed out.
But that's not what's being applied here, John.
I know.
So you're calling
bully
for
them. No, bully for them. I'm just saying often they say zero tolerance is the best way to go on all of these issues.
So this mother, I don't know if she sees it like as assault or something.
Yes.
But so let me ask you, just to make this a little interesting, because I think this seems more or less a slam dunk case. Like, yeah, the teacher probably shouldn't have done that, but it's no big deal.
Right.
What if it was a man who was the teacher and a 17-year-old girl who was the student, and he pitched her on the butt?
See, now you got it, right? Yes. Don't you have a problem there? Because we're okay with women raping students, right?
No, we're not.
We're not. Don't we make jokes about it? Don't we make Mary-Kate Letourneau a big star?
Mary-Kate Letourneau spent 7 years in prison.
I understand.
But the thing is here, in this case, do you think that's hypocritical? If a man teacher pinched a 17-year-old girl on the butt, I think there would be more social uproar than a female English teacher pinching a 17-year-old boy.
Huh? Yes, absolutely. When I coached football, they were like, hey, don't forget, no patting on the butt. But like when we were kids, the coach was constantly slapping you on the ass. That's all they ever did. They motivate you and get you a swat on the butt. It's like, why is that? Why is that okay? A grown man gives you the big meat hook on the rear end.
Because then you have cases like Penn State, you go, maybe it's not such a great idea. I mean, that's the problem.
I don't mind to do it when you got pads on, but they should not be coming into the shower slapping you on the butt. Hey, good job getting under your armpits with that soap.
Next thing you know, those students will grow up and start disrobing in the middle of the newsroom.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, apparently not in your mind.
By the way, I took a picture yesterday, and I gave it to Patrick.
Yes.
Put it up on the Facebook picture.
Okay, yes. It's a hell of a picture. I didn't realize they had technology that could do that. I can't figure out if it's photo technology or physical growth hormone technology that turns you into that.
That is the question we're asking the viewers of the Tom McCurley Facebook page. Is it Photoshop or human growth hormones?
Right.
All right. Listen, I just quick personal comment. I try not to let my own bias filter in when it comes to the news. But this mom, I don't know who you are, but you're a horrible person if you cause this teacher to lose her job. Your son is 17. He can speak for himself. He shouldn't have been turned around and talking to his neighbor at that time. And if this woman ends up losing her job and she's a good teacher, then you're affecting every single kid for the next 10 years that would have been affected by a good teacher. So, stop for a moment and maybe get a check from the city for a couple $1,000 to make you go away. All right? That's my own opinion. That's it. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, I thought you weren't injecting it.
No, I know. I'm just sort of layering it on top. How about the UFO team that meets weekly, Tom, with this out-of-this-world conversations, the UFO I-team founder, welcomed distant guest to last week's meeting through Facebook Live. Okay, I'm not doing this story if you're going to be making fun of it. Are you going to be making fun of it?
No, I'm not going to.
All right, hang on then.
We're here and live at Denny's again. At the UFO I-Team on May 2nd, folks. You survived May Day, so congratulations. And now we are having a fun time today because we actually got interviewed today by the Everett Herald. Can you imagine our local mainstream media interested at all in this subject?
Okay, so they're at Denny's?
Yeah, they're at the Denny's. It's the heart of America. It's also his regular hangout.
Okay, Lee Strauss tells the Herald the importance of meeting with UFO I-Team.
It's really nice being in this group because a lot of us are abductees.
Or experiencers.
Or experiencers, right.
Or contactees.
Or contactees, maybe.
So there's three categories?
I think it's all supposed to be one category.
No.
Contactees. Yeah, it's a sliding scale. You're the abductees or the experiencers or the contactees.
Okay. Experiencers, right.
Or experiencers. Okay. So where are the ones that's been probed?
I would hope that's the abductees.
Yeah. I've been probed. Where do I sit?
Contactees, maybe. But
You notice how he discounted the contactees, didn't he? Oh, yeah. The contactees. I forgot. Right. Yeah, you guys are just as important.
Hey, I still want to know where to sit.
It's good because I can bounce stuff off them and they understand it. They understand the feelings. They understand the stress, the anguish, and everything that goes along with it.
And the humiliation. Okay, we shouldn't laugh. This is serious stuff. Mary Kennedy, so I think she's a contactee, wants people to speak out because the government won't.
There is enough evidence out there for the people willing to research it that it's impossible to ignore anymore. This is not some fringe thing. This is something that's going on and that we should acknowledge it. And possibly we don't wait for the government to come out and say, you know, hey, there's UFOs, although they have started doing that.
Okay. All right. Barry Alexander, Tom, tells the tale of a motorcycle rider who initially thought all he saw was a meteor flying through the sky near Mount Baker. Are you ready? Hopefully there's a lot of dishes clanging in the background for this.
And he jumped off his Harley Davidson and
looked over the river and discovered that this craft was spinning like a top over the river. It slowed down, and when it slowed down, he saw that it was golden with lights moving all around the edges of everything, right over this river, right above the tree line. And then from underneath of this pyramid, this golden pyramid, come these tentacles that suck water out of the river with lights like drawing it up through these three tubes. And then it withdraws them back into the craft again after about a minute and starts moving off. And then it takes off over about 2 seconds in like a zigzag pattern and heads and disappears over the mountain, at which time Black Hawk helicopters come chasing towards that direction after it's already long gone about, you know, a minute later.
Wow.
Pretty dramatic.
Yeah, very dramatic. His Grand Slam breakfast was getting cold. That was a long story. It was 47 seconds long. I'll say this. You don't believe in UFOs. You don't believe there's... You believe this is the life. There's no other life on any other galaxy. That happens right here.
No, that's not true.
Okay, you believe there could be life on other planets.
I just don't... I don't believe in any of these visitations. I don't believe... I know there's a whole community of people. They've written best-selling books about being, you know, probed in these alien abductions. Sure. That I don't believe.
You don't believe anybody gets anally probed.
Why anally? Any kind of probe.
You're going to go to the trouble of getting a human on board.
Aliens.
You're going to go to the trouble of getting a human on board.
You might as well go right for the, hey, maybe that teacher likes to pinch people there.
I watched the other day, somebody was sharing something on Facebook. It was F-18 pilots. One guy going, hey, what is that off the side? And I don't know. What is that thing? That's crazy. Yeah. So two F-18 pilots flying along, and they look over, and they see that thing, and they're like, what is that? The guy goes, I don't know. And look how fast, and hey, it's hovering, and they're talking. Yeah. So what is that thing?
No, I know. And the unidentified, I get that. You don't know what it is. It doesn't mean, you know, that there are tentacles that are being reached down into the water and drifting. I mean, they just, all that, the kind of specificity, if that really was happening, I think there'd be more witnesses than a few people hanging out at Denny's. I think, I have no problem with what they're doing. I think they're having a good time. As they say, it's fun. They can
no
share
one's getting
stories.
Hurt.
Yeah. It's, I mean, yeah.
Okay.
This guy says that, you know, he is dealing with retirement and divorce, so he's got a lot of extra time in his hands. And so if this is the way he wants to spend it, I think it's fun.
Let me ask you this. If you were abducted by an alien spaceship and they took you up, wouldn't you want them to, like, probe you?
No.
Why not?
I'd want them to sit down and let me probe them.
No, because you're all about, like, hey, I want you to learn and become a better society. You know, go ahead, have at it.
They can ask me any question they want.
Oh, okay. Just keep their hands off.
Keep the probe. They say, hey, but I know a guy named Curly down there. He'd be prime for that. He won't even come up clothed.
All right, we don't have time to get to the judge of the cat. We'll save that story. How to maintain relationships with these people, even though occasionally you hate them. Plus, also, Sully stops by with some traffic stuff, and we'll be checking in on the ongoing head tax debate. Hannah Scott is down there, along with everybody else, and we get an opportunity to hear people want to punch into that every once in a while during the show.
Why not?
Okay, we'll listen to Voice Populi. We'll be right back. You don't believe anybody gets anally probed.
Why anally? Any kind of probe.
You're going to go to the trouble of getting a human on board.
Aliens.
You're going to go to the trouble of getting a human on board.
You might as well go right for the, hey, maybe that teacher likes to pinch people there.
Hey, business owners. We can get your message in front of this captive audience. Give me a call, Tina Sorensen, General Sales Manager for Cairo Radio. 206-726-6800.
19. Here we go. Well, that's unfortunate when you get a nickname like Babyface and then you're in your 40s or 50s, right?
Well, he might milk it.
I mean, at some point, it's like, why Babyface? Oh, I used to have a Babyface. All right.
We all used to have baby face.
True that, Tom. You write to us at MyNorthwest.com. You can text as well at 98973. And if you missed the big news, Patrick, our producer, is moving on to become a Seattle police officer. Good for him. Good for the city. Not necessarily bad for the show. I'm sure we'll find somebody willing to work for under $40,000 a year. All right?
But bear with us over the next month or two while we
And I like the fact that they bring him in. Whoever the producer is, they bring him in. They said, now, just want to, Patrick's like, because I hear he talks to different ones who are interviewing them.
Yeah.
Just want to let you know, John's going to kind of make you into a character, and it's best just to kind of go with it and don't fight him, whatever he kind of assumes that you are. So just let him do that to you.
That's all right. You're putty in John's hands.
Same advice that the aliens give you when you get up there and they put the KY on it. All right, here we go.
Quieter. You're obsessing about that, aren't you, John?
A lot of people are writing
your
in.
Body image.
You're the one. Oh, I'll tell you everything you need to know, but don't probe me.
Yes.
The aliens are like, send him back.
Yeah.
I'm so bored with you.
Yeah, good. We'll send you up.
How to maintain a sibling relationship. This is from the New York Times. I find it fascinating that we need to read and learn from experts on how to continue relationships with brothers and sisters as we age. I think it's both sad and also enlightening.
Well, I mean, this is a how to maintain sibling relationships, because a lot of people do not get along with their siblings. And so how do you maintain this?
Mm-hmm.
I have four brothers and we get along famously well. It is true. I've probably been madder at my brothers than anybody else on the planet.
Yeah.
But I've also spent more good times with my brothers. And one of the odd things that they say about this is that, just like you do with friends, supposedly, and loved ones, supposedly, you need to tell them that you love them and you care about them and you appreciate them,
mm-hmm.
which seems to me, I can imagine, I trying that on one of my brothers. You go, what the hell's gotten into you,
yeah,
Tom?
Right.
That seems a bit excessive. But I suppose the idea here is that you need to kind of nurture the relationship. One of the things that's pretty amazing about my brothers, we keep in touch.
Uh-huh.
We talk couple times a week, and we've got a lot of brothers to keep track of, that's a positive. And if you don't do that, I can see how you drift away. One of the key things in this article to me was they say that, you know, you think you know everybody because you grew up together,
mm-hmm.
but as you go off and become adults, you have a lot of different experiences.
Yes.
And you may turn into a different person 10 years down the road. You may not be what you think your fellow siblings think you are.
Right.
And it is true, if you don't keep up that, then the assumptions go back to, well, I remember what you were like when you were 11.
Right.
Well, that when you're 40, you may not be that way at all.
There's a book called Prisoner of Childhood. Alice Mueller, I think, wrote the thing. And then she renamed it This Life of the Gifted Child. I forget the second printing of it. But she basically pointed out that parents and kids lock each other in at a certain point, and that's they choose to not see the development of the child.
Yeah.
So the parents, the prisoner of childhood, is the kid is always looking at the mother and father, even though they're in their 40s, and they revert back to where they were when they were 14, and they still rehash the issues. So they're never able to sort of emotionally mature with relationships. My brother and sister did it to me for a long time, where they would lock me in. I was still 17. So I'm explaining stuff to them. I said, no, I did this and this. Well, when did you do that? I said, well, when I was living here. Well, when were you living there? Since we didn't keep in touch with one another, they were just like, how does a 17-year-old, quote-unquote 17-year-old, end up doing different things?
Yeah.
Here's a question for you and your brothers.
Yeah.
Are you guys all, because I think the difference that comes in where people start to dislike one another and their relatives, if somebody is really, really successful, far more successful than the other group, then there's some resentment. Are you guys all about the same thing as with paychecks at the end of the year?
Well, no, actually, we have quite the range.
Oh, do you?
And
because there's five of you, right?
Yeah, there are five of us, and there's quite a range. And we were never. My dad was an English, high school teacher. That money was never kind of the differentiation anyway. So I don't think that's the case. They do mention that could be one of the things. One thing I think they say is important is don't try to compare things.
Yeah.
Like I've got a better job, or I make more money, or I've got a better wife, or my kids are more successful.
Yeah.
All that.
Leave
kind
that
of stuff
up to your brother-in-law.
maybe so. But how about with you? I mean, do you?
Well, how about one more question for you?
Yeah, sure.
How about politically? Did you guys all fall right underneath the tree?
Well, I mean, we're all on the left side of the tree, but some of us are on far extended branches. I mean, everybody knows I was a strong Hillary Clinton supporter, and a lot of my brothers were strong Bernie, Sanders people. So we would have, serious political arguments, but they would be on the left. I don't think we had anybody who was a Trumper, for instance.
Okay, got it.
But so I know that happens in families as well.
So then you guys were all basically varying degrees of being wrong.
Yes. Okay. Coming from you, I would take that as a high, high compliment.
Right.
The other thing, though, is here's why I disagree with this article. Right. They say don't bring up touchy subjects. Don't bring up things like politics. Don't bring up things like religion if there's a clash in religion. Do not. It's better to avoid than engage, which I think is completely wrong.
Mm. Well, you never win it, even though it's your brother. Here's what I found the other day. My sister, who really, this is way outside her comfort zone, she decided to sign up for classes to become a stand-up comedian.
Oh, my God.
And
wow.
She is not...
funny.
She's funny.
Yeah.
She's a good writer.
Is she funny like Patrick is funny?
Patrick's mom is sitting here. I really can't say.
That's why
I want to include the family.
Much, that's become a running joke on this show.
Patrick doesn't understand funny.
Patrick,
by the way,
sense of
I scold you, Patrick's mom. Yeah, don't look at me like that. Your son has like a really bad ability to know what is funny and what is not funny, by the way. I want you to know that. Was anything ever said funny around the house when he was a kid?
Never.
He doesn't.
Well, he picked it up
okay,
well.
There. Okay, yeah. Thank you for that. So my sister.
That was funnier than anything Patrick's ever said on 4 years on the show.
Yeah. Patrick's mom is here because this is Patrick's last day.
That's
and
right.
She never believed that he actually had a job on the radio.
All right.
There we go. It's clear. Yeah, Lori ended up doing stand-up. And she sent me her script. And only sent it to me, didn't send it to anybody else, which I thought was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wrote her back and I told her, I'm really proud of you and I love you. And I haven't told her that ever in my entire life.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She was so touched. She wrote back again and now she continues to send me her really, really bad material. And I don't know what
to
say.
Do you edit it? Do you rewrite it for her?
I tell her, I said, you know what? Yeah. You could find a funnier verb than pouring.
Yeah.
Use gushing or spurting or something like
that. That's good. You could be her editor.
Yeah, I do kind of help her out a little bit.
That's great.
It is good. All right. And it's also fun to be able to ask your siblings about experiences that you had and see their memory of it. I did with my brother yesterday. I said,
yes.
Do you remember when Dad came in and said this? And Chuck goes, I don't remember that.
No, I know. That's the great thing about having so many siblings is now we have different memories. They're like pockets of things that made a bigger impression on the fourth son than it did on the second son, and the first son didn't even know. I mean, that I think is a fascinating material. The one last thing, speaking of moms and blaming Patrick for the way he is on his mother, they said that moms who do not have good relations with their own siblings are really, they really push the idea of having good, you know, siblings among their kids.
Mm-hmm.
That the mom is a key factor. If the mom grew up with comfortable sibling relationships, then she doesn't focus so much on it, and her kids are apt to not be good with each other as adults.
Got it. All right, Sully's going to stop by with some traffic news, plus also we might play a drinking game, Tom, with coffee or milk. Every time somebody says head tax, we're going to cut live to that. And when they say head tax, we'll ring the bell, and then if you're sitting at home and you don't plan on driving or doing anything like operating heavy equipment, you can play our little drinking game.
And we could have a bite of Patrick's going away.
Okay, that's what we'll do, sir. We'll cut in live every once in a while. We'll come right back. Sully comes in, talks to us a little bit about traffic news. Don't go away. It's Tom and Curly Show right here on Cairo Radio, 97.3 FM.
This Tom and Curly podcast is brought to you in part by Farrah.com, the way to sell your home and pay no listing commission. But there are three other reasons why Farrah listings are better. Everything's transparent. You get online offers and an appraisal guarantee. Discover the new way to sell your home. Go to Farrah.com, Farrah.com. Now, the Tom and Curly podcast.
All right, here we go. It is both a celebration of a life well led and well lived here at the Tom and Curly Show, Tom.
And a funeral.
And a funeral, right.
Or the Tom and Curly Show.
He lit up a room, he really did.
Yeah, that's right.
Patrick, our producer of the big news, is no longer with us.
Yes, he passed away late last night. No.
Period. New paragraph.
That's
he is
right.
moving on to another job. All right. It's funny, each one of the folks, you know, that work here at Cairo that are on the show on a regular basis just want to stop by to sort of say goodbye to Patrick, pay their condolences like it's an open casket or something. Coming through the door now is
dearly
Sully.
Dearly beloved.
Yeah. Pick up your prayer card on the way out, Sully.
Unfortunately, I've had the pleasure of giving two eulogies in my life, so I'm pretty good at this. So, hey. I just don't know who I'm going to talk soccer with now that Patrick's gone.
It's true. Hey, it says here, because Patrick, because it's his last day, you can tell. You ready? Sully joins the show at 10:47. This is what it says. Sully joins and talks about traffic and stuff. Really putting a big effort in on the last day.
Let's start with the stuff.
Well, the stuff, it's, the stuff is all Patrick. Yep. I don't know how you guys are going to get by without this dude.
No,
love Patrick, man.
Okay. That's it? Okay, now moving on to traffic.
Yeah, just want to remind everybody, this weekend we've got the Revive I-5 project is coming back up. We can never remind people enough about that. We took a couple weekends off, one because of events rain in Seattle and then rain the previous weekend. So we're back to a closure of a couple of lanes northbound getting into Seattle. At this point, again, this is so they can all handle the, you know, replace all the concrete there on I-5. And you know what's funny is we're into the third week of the new lane configuration. Remember early on we were trying to figure out what was going on I-90, because every day I-90 westbound has been backing up for no apparent reason. Finally, after a couple days into this thing, I was like, you know what? It's because of the temporary lane configuration that they put in the collector distributor lanes because of this project. And so the unintended consequence is that it's backed up 90, and it's going to stay that way until they finish this Revive I-5 project, which has, I believe, another three weekends. And the biggie next weekend coming up is we're going to actually go with a full closure of I-5. It's going to be completely shut down in the northbound direction. So it's never too soon to start planning for that, especially now as some of the kids are coming back from college. I know some of the college graduates are back. We've got more people driving again. Sunny time. People are going to be heading out over the weekends. It's always just good to plan well enough in advance for what's going to be coming on over the weekends.
Okay, wait a minute. So when in 3 weeks it'll all be shut down?
No, 2 weeks. The next weekend closure that we have after this weekend will be a full weekend closure. This weekend we're just going to be down to two lanes, which is going to be bad enough as it is.
So that's not Memorial Day weekend.
No. Okay. They planned ahead for that one.
Right. Any relief? I guess get on to 99. I ran into it coming back from the airport and stuck on that thing.
Yeah, there really aren't. You know, 99 gets backed up. Even 405 over the weekend when they do this gets really slammed. Airport Way still has a little bit of air capacity. That's my favorite back door to avoid I-5. You get pop off at the Boeing Access Road and you zip around Airport Way and you can pop right on in downtown. That's always a good way to go. And one way that people don't use a lot is you get off at Airport Way and you can take MLK. Because you'll be going faster up MLK, even with the lights into downtown, than you would be stuck on the freeway. So don't always automatically go to Airport Way on the west side of I-5. Get up and just go up the Rainier Valley on Rainier Ave, or excuse me, on MLK, and you'll save yourself some time there. Most people don't think about going along the east side of the freeway, but you can.
There
it's a good alternate.
Got something out of it.
Yeah. Do you want to ask him about the Westney thing, or should we save that for us?
That's ours.
Okay. That's ours? Okay,
don't give
good.
It to Sully.
Okay, fine.
Well, it's only because of everything that's in that article I've talked about for years now, but that's okay. Yeah. Not saying that Danny stole it from me.
Stick around.
So no, it's a great topic. It's a really good topic.
So Westney is talking about this. We got music. We don't have time for you now.
I guess we have to bring him back.
Darn it.
Damn it.
See you later, Patrick. Rock on, my brother.
There See you in Long Beach, bud.
Yeah, definitely. North Jetty Brewing.
Okay, all right, bros.
That's right.
Break it up. Wow, the hugging. It's unnecessary. Oh, the back, the butt slapping. Yeah. Look at that.
Oh, the pinching.
Pinching's going on. We'll be right back.